The other day, out in the annex, David and I and a few other men were talking about introductions. And I said that introductions are like fine perfume. They're to be smelt and not to be swallowed. And David said what he likes to be is to just introduce as a man of God, a Christian who loves the word and preaches it. And that's David Johnson. And that's our speaker today.
Amen. Thank you, Shan. Please open your Bibles to Malachi, the second chapter. Malachi, the second chapter. I will begin reading in verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. In my research, all those tears were shed by people who the men had divorced. It was women that had been divorced, and they were crying unto the Lord. Yet you say, for what reason? In other words, what reason, Lord, do you not accept our offering anymore? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. If you look that word treacherously up in a Bible dictionary, the definition is betrayal or a violation of trust and faith, or faith. Begin reading in the middle of 14. Between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But he did not make them one. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Let none of you deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. My lesson this morning is, why does God hate divorce? Under the old law, Moses allowed the children of Israel to divorce their wives, or men to divorce their wives, and give them a certificate of divorce. So under the old law, they could divorce their wife. But we're not under the old law anymore. It has been taken out of the way, and Jesus nailed it to the cross. In Galatians, the third chapter, it spends almost the whole chapter teaching us that we are no longer under the law of Moses. We are under the law of Christ, the last will and testament of Jesus. Therefore, we must obey the rules that the Lord lays down, not those that were given unto the Jews. Let's turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew, the 19th chapter, and this is the last that I'll ask you to turn to. I'll quote the others or read them. Chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he made them at the beginning male and female? Shan spoke on this morning and did an excellent job. And said, for this reason, what reason? The reason of marriage. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said unto him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. God did not want it to be that way. I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. The only way that Jesus allows people to be scripturally divorced is unfaithfulness on the part of your partner. Now, I realize in America you can get a divorce for almost any reason, and that's true. But regardless of what the law of the land says, it will not and cannot change God's law. In the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Acts, the apostles had just healed a lame man at Gate Beautiful. They were teaching about Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had him arrested, thrown in prison. While they were in prison, that night an angel of the Lord appeared and unlocked the doors, and they went out. They went right back to the temple and began teaching. When the leaders of the Jewish, the high priest and those with him, had them brought before them, and here's what they said. Didn't we command you not to talk in that man's name or teach in it anymore? And here you are bringing his blood upon us. But the apostles said unto those leaders, we must obey God and not man. And brethren, that is still true today. We must obey God and not man. Now, why does God hate divorce? Well, to begin with, it destroys that union between a man and a wife, which God ordained, that institution that Shan talked about this morning, in the beginning. Adam and Eve were married. God wants a family to marry and stay married until death separates them. But God also knows the hurt, the harm, the pain, and the suffering that goes in to divorce when people divorce. Sometimes they hate one another. Sometimes they fight like cats and dogs. They no longer have that love that they had from the very beginning of time. When divorce happens, it is a failure on one or both of the parties. Someone has broken the vow that they made. Someone has broken that covenant that they made with their partner. Therefore, they have divorce. They no longer love one another. In my preaching career, I come to the conclusion a long, long time ago that if people put in their marriage the love, the concern, the effort that God wants them to, they would have a wonderful marriage. When I was president of a company in Austin, there was a young lady from Corpus Christi that moved to Austin. She came in and applied for a job, and I interviewed her. I'm not going to go through all what she said, but she told me that she had just had a divorce and that she moved to Austin to get away from her husband. She said, "I need a job to provide for me and my young son." She had a son, I think it's 4 or 5. So I hired her. She was a good worker. As time went on, about a year later, maybe a little more, I don't remember, I went down one day to the coffee room and or the break room, and she's going to get me a cup of coffee. There she was, sitting at the table. Wasn't anybody else in the room. I went over to sit down, and I said, "How's your day going?" Well, she didn't answer me. She began to tell me about her marriage. I won't get into that, but I will tell you only a little of it. She said that her husband told her that he'd only been unfaithful that one time. She said he begged me to forgive him and that he would make it up. She said, "I was so mad at him for what he did, I couldn't wait to divorce him and get out of his life." That's what she did. But then she told me this. She said, "If I had my time to go over, I would have forgiven him, and I know," that's what she said, "and I know we could have had a wonderful marriage together." A lot of times where there is no forgiveness, it harms the people. All of us know that the people that suffer the most in a divorce is the children. They don't understand why mommy doesn't love daddy anymore. They don't understand why daddy doesn't love mommy anymore. Children suffer. They wind up sometimes with two fathers, a stepfather and a father, and a stepmother and their mother. But also what happens in some of those, my wife served on the grand jury for 1 year. Grand jury meets quite a few times during the year. Grand jury, they bring people in front of them and they have to give evidence as if they have enough evidence to indict them and send them to trial, or they call it bill or no bill. My wife told me there wasn't a time that she served on that jury that they didn't bring men, sometimes a few women, that had not abused children. Now, a lot of times, I know this, a lot of times the children are so traumatized and so upset over that divorce that they can't get along with the new family. They cause more trouble and more heartache, and in some extreme cases, they wind up with their grandparents or a ward of the state because they flat will not live under the situation. Sometimes a woman has a boyfriend that comes in, or maybe even who she marries, and they molest some of those children. I don't know about you, but I don't know anything in the world that I would dislike more than a precious little girl being molested by some horrible individual. That's a result sometimes of marriage divorce. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you about a family. I hope that you'll see my reason for this when I finish, and I'm talking about my mother and my father's family. There were 8 of us kids. 3 of them were dead, my oldest brother and my 2 youngest sisters. This would fit them, but I'm not going to bring those up. I'm just going to talk about the 5. My mother and dad were poor. They died poor. My mother and dad only had an 8th grade education, but they were wise beyond their years. But the things that they taught us and the example that they set for us, we will carry with us throughout eternity. My mother loved me and the rest of the children. My father loved me and the rest of the children. They began when we were like this, about that tall, to teach us about the Lord, to teach us about marriage, so many subjects, and they continued to teach us until we left home. I have one brother who is an elder in the Lord's church in Tennessee. I have another brother who is an elder in the church in Florida. I have another brother who is a deacon in the church in Georgia. And of course, I became a preacher. I have a sister that married her childhood sweetheart. And when he reached maturity, I think it was sometimes in the 40s age, the congregation that they attended made him one of their elders. Every one of God, a mother and dad's children, married the sweetheart of their youth, including me. And every one of those children are still married to the childhood sweetheart, except me, and my wife died 4 years ago after we had 59 years and 3 months of marriage. Now, I told you that to tell you this. God wants his children to find the mate, the one that they fall in love with, the one that they spend their life with. And God wants them to love, to find joy and happiness and sexual fulfillment with that partner that you married, and only death separates you from that partner. That is God's plan, and that's what God wants from us. God understands. God's smarter than we are. God understands the hurt, all the things that go into a divorce. You know, it's sad that we marry somebody and then we wind up divorced. Let me tell you, if you want a successful marriage, you have to work at that like you work at anything else. You have to spend love, time, effort, concern that marriage. You know, I'm a romantic. I used to take flowers many times during the year to my wife. I never gave her flowers on anniversary, birthday, or any other day that it was expected to be given. I gave her flowers when she didn't know she was going to get them, and I wanted her to know I did that because I loved her, not because it was a special day to give her some flowers. I had a vice president once. I used to order the flowers at the office. Close of the day, they'd bring me a box of flowers with the ribbon on it. And this guy said, "You know, you just throw your money away." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "You spend all that money on those flowers," and he said, "they only last 2 or 3 days, and you throw them away." You see, he missed the point. Now, I'm going to tell you something on my wife. When I married my wife, she didn't know how to boil water. And that's pretty close to it, too. But my wife was determined to become a good cook for me. She attended a school in Austin, a culinary school. She had all kind of books. And I'll tell you for a fact, that first year, she cooked all that, and I choked on most of it. I'd put some in my mouth that I thought I wasn't going to be able to swallow. But I never let on it wasn't delicious, because I knew that I would hurt her feelings because of the effort that she went to. But I'm here to tell you that she became one of the finest gourmet cooks in all the world. There was nobody that I think could cook better gourmet food than she could. I told you that to tell you, you put effort in your marriage. You get out of your marriage what you put into it. I know that these others in this room can say with me this: I wish I had my wife to be able to share anything, just to talk to. God gave you your partner. Shannon spoke on that, how wonderful it is. But it won't be that way unless you do your part and put the love, the concern, the effort that you need to put in it. If you put it in there, God will be pleased and you will be pleased. God wants us to love and cherish our partner through sickness and through health until death do we part. That's God's will. And God knows, and I know that it's true because I've had to counsel too many people that came into my office. I can't believe some of the little minor things that they made a big issue out of. Where is forgiveness? Where's kindness? You know, love is supposed to be kind. All those things, is that the way it is? There are people who are married that the woman has a night out and the man has a night out. That goes on a lot. That's trouble. It will end up in trouble. You ought to be doing things together, sharing together. God didn't give you that partner for you to go one way and they go the other way. That's not why he gave you the partner. You know, Jesus said, what God have joined together. It didn't matter whether you married by a preacher, evangelist, a priest, a judge. It don't make any difference who you're married by. God joins you together. And it is God's will that we love our partner and we continue to love our partner until death separates us. I had, without any doubt, the best partner that anyone could have. I'm sure you feel the same way, and I hope that you do. Stood by me, comfort me. And I'll tell you one thing now. Before I come here, Shan knows this, I had pneumonia. For 4 weeks, I laid in the bed with my pajamas and didn't hardly get out of the bed, sicker than a dog. I didn't have anybody to rub my back or comfort me or to say nice things to me. I guarantee you I missed it too. Love your partner. Work at it and you will have the marriage that God wants you to have. God hates couples who divorce because of all the hurt, sorrow, pain, and breakup that it causes. We need to begin to teach our children when they're this. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You can't just say, okay, so and so, and then that be it. That don't work that way. You have to train your children and do things with your children. Show that love, and you will be a recipient of the return love. If you're in this assembly this morning and you're a child of God, but you know there are things amiss in your life, the Lord said if you would repent of those and pray to him, he will forgive you. And the Bible says for your brethren to pray with and for you. If you're not a child of God, and you say, what does God want me to do? He wants you to put your faith and trust in him. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Then he wants us to repent, to change our life. Repentance is an internal thing. It does not come from remorse. It comes from conviction of sin and godly sorrow for that sin. Then he wants us to confess that Jesus is his son. Right here in this country, there are millions on millions on millions who deny Jesus and want no part of him. Jesus said in John 8 and 24, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then he wants us to be immersed in water that we might receive remission of sins. And I'm going to tell you the four things that God will give you if you will obey him. First, he will forgive your sin. Secondly, he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, he will add you to the church. And fourthly, you will be a recipient of all the precious and sweet promises that God has made. My favorite scripture, or at least one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and verse 9. The Holy Spirit says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love the Lord? Don't you want all those special promises? You can have them if you will obey the Lord. If you need to do that, won't you come now? Together we stand.